Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
Hello, brothers and sisters. The last YouTube video I did, I spent quite a bit of time going through Bishop Barron's evaluation of the pontificate of Pope Francis. And I did it not just so that we could clarify our thinking about the positive and negative effects of Pope Francis's leadership, but we can also come to an appreciation of the challenge that we're facing right now as Catholics. I particularly mentioned in the last video the challenge that Pope Leo is facing to try to bring unity into a situation of true division. Now, this week, I'd like to talk about a book by Father Donald Haggerty. It's called The Hour of Testing, Spiritual Depth and Insight in a Time of Ecclesial Uncertainty. And I think it's pretty clear from Bishop Barron's description that we are living in a time of ecclesial uncertainty. There's division, there's confusion, there's polarization, and we're really in a serious situation. Just because we have a new pope doesn't mean that the old problems have gone away. It means that the new pope has a big challenge facing those problems, but we do too. In this book, Father Haggerty, he's a priest of the Archdiocese of New York. He's been a spiritual director for many years. He's taught moral theology at seminaries, both in New York and Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, Maryland. And he's written some of the best spiritual books I've ever read. I think he's the most insightful, most deep spiritual writer writing today. He's published a book on conversion. You'll often see excerpts from it in Magnificat magazine. I think it gives the best description of conversion I've ever seen, the stages of conversion. But this book is really quite a challenge. I'm not saying it's easy to read. I'm not saying that everybody who's watching this video should go out and get it. But if you're theologically interested, if you have a deep spiritual sense of something not being right and understanding what it is and how to deal with it, this would be an excellent book. I had the privilege of interviewing him for our upcoming season, The Choices We Face. He was just here in Ann Arbor the last couple of days, and I just have the greatest admiration for Father Haggerty. So what does he do in this book? First of all, he talks about we're living in a time of tremendous hostility of the culture towards the church, towards God. He says something like there's been something like a metaphysical rupture. There's been something like a radical rupture of people departing from reality. It reminds me of Romans chapter 1, and he actually quotes Romans chapter 1 at various times where he says, they knew God, they had knowledge of God, but they intentionally suppressed it, and they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the creator. And one of the themes of this book is how man today has cast off God and is placing himself in the place of God. He's glorifying himself rather than God. And we're just seeing this in many different ways. We're seeing this in, there was a Microsoft scientist not too many years ago who said, if we could just live another 5 years, we'll be able to live forever. You know, science is just ready to solve the problem of death. Now, the solutions that they're talking about are uploading our brain into a computer somewhere or freezing our brain or, the kind of eternal life that they're promising through science isn't eternal life. It's the prolongation of fallen human life in all its darkness and all its pain and all its suffering, probably much worse than we have right now. Eternal life, the eternal life that Jesus came to offer us, is not just a prolongation of human life on this earth. It's higher. It's much higher. It's a higher level where there'll be no more death and no more pain and no more suffering, where our bodies will be glorified with the glory of God because of God's mercy and love to us and giving us Jesus. And that's what's really at stake in this battle right now. The hostility towards God, the hostility to the order of creation, the hostility to his son, Jesus Christ, is a very profound challenge to the church. This is what Father Haggerty says. These proposals of modern day science, as in the Nazi period, depend on the death of God as the creator. The whisper of the satanic voice can be distinctly heard in such talk. Most of humanity will not realize what is happening and will likely acquiesce once again in history without protest to the superior intelligence and authority of the scientists. The future decades may display instead a shocking acceptance of these supposed advances. The truth of God will be denied. The consequences will be new forms of godless inventiveness in science and technology. One sign of this moral darkness should be noted above all. The rabid obsession to protect the legal right to kill the innocent child in the mother's womb bears witness to a societal godlessness beyond all other signs. This link between killing children and societal godlessness is largely unacknowledged, nor is it recognized how perverse is the embrace of this metaphysical lie and falsehood in this horror. Without God, the perception of reality has become subservient to a purely subjective spirit. We have become godlike individuals who can determine what is real rather than creatures who receive what is real from a divine source of power beyond ourselves. But besides kind of pointing out the seriousness of the challenge from a culture that's turning away from God and placing itself in the place of God, he also talks about the sickness coming into the church. That there's a rebellion in the church. There's a casting off of the authority of God. It isn't as explicit sometimes as what we find in the secular culture, but it's there. He says we're actually living in a time where people are calling for doctrine to change. He says doctrine can't change. Doctrine doesn't come from man. Doctrine comes from God. God is revealed to us through the reliability of sacred scripture and sacred tradition, and we find a reliable account of it in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and yet there are huge forces within the church, as Bishop Barron pointed out in his article in First Things magazine, that no longer accept what the Catholic Church teaches about marriage and sexuality, no longer accepts what it teaches about gender identity, about male and female, no longer accepts what the church has established about how the church itself should be ordered and structured. He says that things may get worse before they get better, and that despite Pope Leo's efforts to bridge these gaps and to bring a real unity back to the church, he may not be able to be successful, though, as I said in my last video, well, let's pray that he is, because I know he wants to be. But he says we actually may be approaching a time that Jesus spoke about when he was on earth, when he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith on the earth? Now, this is, I think it's from Luke chapter 18. I'm not sure. I'm not going to take time now to look it up, but you can find it. When the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith on the earth? Wow. And a lot of spiritually sensitive theologians said that part of the agony of Jesus's suffering and death and crucifixion was knowing, despite the sacrifice he was making for us, that many of us would reject it, just like they did when Jesus was walking the earth, and the agony of that. May it not come to pass. But the Catechism of the Catholic Church does say in sections 676, 677, 678, that the church itself is going to have to go through a very severe trial and test just before the Lord returns, where a false messianism is going to arise, where perhaps the Antichrist is going to arise and promise a solution to the world. Maybe it's a scientific solution, maybe a political solution, maybe a medical solution. It's going to promise a solution to the problem of death and poverty. But it's going to come with a price. It's going to come with the price of rejecting Christ or creating a Christ in our own image to suit ourselves. And this is one of the great dangers in the church today. there's a lot of people who are sympathetic towards Christ, who consider themselves good Christians, but it's not the real Jesus Christ. They've created a Christ that affirms them in what they want to do with their life and what they believe, what they think is true, what they think is false. Father Haggerty was telling me about the pain in his own heart. He says, because he's a priest who hears confessions and talks to people and counsels people, he says, there's quite a few people that come to him who are daily communicants, who are living in manifest mortal sin, illicit relationships, doing things that are deadly, doing things that Scripture and the church say will exclude us from the kingdom of God, and they think everything's fine. A lot of people have reinterpreted the Christian faith, reinterpreted what it means to be a Catholic to suit what they want to do. And this is like a grave deception. This is like the kind of deception that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about. It says, Paul says, before the Lord returns, two things need to happen. One is the great apostasy. One is a great turning away from Christ on the part of those who once had faith. And the other one is a removal on all kinds of things that are restraining evil. And then there's going to be, when the restraints are taken away, and they are being taken away, when the restraints are taken away, there's going to be a manifestation of evil focusing on an individual that most scripture commentators believe is the Antichrist. And it says he's going to use every means at his disposal to lead to destruction those who are destined to perdition. Now, I've done videos on these two things that need to happen before the Lord returns. But I'm going to repeat it here because it's really relevant. 2 Thessalonians is really relevant in trying to discern the signs of the times. We're seeing a great apostasy. Whether it's the great apostasy that comes just before the Lord returns, I don't know, but it's a great apostasy. And the pain of that apostasy, the testing of that apostasy, the challenge of that apostasy is real for every one of us. And one of the great themes in Scripture is that we're going to be tested. We're going to be tested. What's going to be tested is our fidelity to Christ. And quite honestly, we have to pass the test if we hope to be with the Lord forever. We have to say, yes, Lord, I value you above everything. I'm willing to suffer the loss of all things if I can have you. That's what Jesus was looking for, his disciples. That really is the case. That's really what it means to be a disciple. Jesus says, unless you're willing to renounce all you have, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Unless you love me more than your mother and father, your relatives and friends, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Now, we can't get there in one fell swoop, but that's where we need to be asking the Lord to bring us. That's where we need to be asking the grace of the Holy Spirit to free us from things that are holding on to us, that we're holding on to, that are keeping us from that full surrender to the Lord. But anyway, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 goes on to say, Every deception, every wicked trick that the Antichrist can use to bring to destruction those who are destined to destruction because. So who is destined to destruction? We know that God wills the whole human race to be saved. He wants nobody to be lost, and we want nobody to be lost. So who's lost? Those who refuse to open their hearts to the truth in order to be saved. And then the last part of the sentence there in 2 Thessalonians 2 says, and therefore God sent upon them a profound delusion as a punishment for the rejection of the truth. And you get the impression from the text that the darkness gets so deep as you keep saying no to the light that you're in danger of not being able to come back. We can never make that judgment about anybody with this life, this hope. We need to pray and offer sacrifice for the salvation of souls. But this is not a game. This is a deadly war. This is a deadly battle. It's going on right now. Right now, the church is being tested and tempted, just like Jesus was tested and tempted in the desert. Right now, we're being tested and tempted. Right now, the evil one's whispering in our ears, oh, don't take it so seriously. You know, just God accepts you as you are. He loves you as you are. The church just wants to welcome you. And this, what's so effective about these lies is that they're half truth and half lies. God does love us just like we are, but he wants us to not stay just as we are. He wants us to grow in holiness. He wants us to repent of serious sin if we're in serious sin. He wants us to let go of attachments that are keeping us back from experiencing the fullness of his love and being able to give ourselves to him. The church wants to welcome all human beings. Absolutely. We want to be a welcoming church. Doesn't matter what color, what piercings people have, what color their hair is, what their politics is. Everybody is welcome. But they're not welcome just to an amorphous community where everybody does their own thing and we use Christian language to paper over real disunity. You know, unity isn't just people together being nice to each other and holding contradictory things. Unity is unity in Christ. Unity is having the mind of heart of Christ together. You don't get that just by coming to church on Sunday necessarily. You have to come to church with the desire to meet Jesus, with the desire to hear his word and obey it. Jesus says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. So back to Father Haggerty, he says, people are coming, receiving communion, and it's really painful for a spiritually sensitive person like Father Haggerty, like it should be for any of us, people not respecting the precious body and blood of our Lord. As Scripture tells us, we need to examine ourselves before we come to communion and make sure that we're living right with the Lord. That's what the sacrament of penance is for, if we're committing serious sin. So, what does Father Haggerty suggest we ought to do? He suggests we ought to be realistic, not pretend that everything's okay, not pretend that we don't have serious challenges facing us. He says we also need not be afraid to use the R word, the remnant word. We may be becoming a remnant. Father Haggerty isn't saying we're living in the last times. He says we don't know, but he says a lot of the challenges of the last times that we read about in Scripture, the words of Jesus, the words of the apostle, could apply to our own time. We could be moving towards an even worse situation in the coming decades, or he puts in maybe centuries. But whatever the timeline is, we right now are in a tremendous satanic assault on the church and within the church, quite honestly, is what do? We need to keep clear in our head what the truth is. We need to really meditate on the Word of God. We really need to respect the tradition of the church. And fortunately, we have the Catechism of the Catholic Church as a sure guide to what the church teaches. Now, some of the people who are saying we need to adjust to the current culture are also saying we need to change the catechism. So if that happens, watch out, all bets are off. But the bet that's never off is Jesus' promise to be with us. He's not going to let us go through this time by ourselves. He's going to give us wisdom. He's never going to let us be separated from the church, even if large sections of the church go into apostasy like it has done historically in Northern Africa and other places, even if many church leaders sort of no longer teach the truth clearly. And one of the things that Father Haggerty says is what happens sometimes is the apostasy of silence, not explicitly denying truths of the faith, but never talking about them anymore, being afraid to talk about them. And if truths of the faith are not spoken about regularly, people very understandably get the impression that, well, they're not important, or maybe we don't believe them anymore. So he talks about the importance of priests having courage and having boldness and to speak the truth in love and fearing God more than human beings. But the real solution that Father Haggerty spends most of his time in the book talking about is us being more fully united to the passion of Christ, more joining ourselves with his suffering love for the sake of the salvation of the world, joining our suffering, the suffering of the tests we're going through, the suffering of disunity in the church, the suffering of apostasy, the suffering of evil that's arising in the world, the suffering of confusion and contradiction in the church. letting it drive us deeper into relationship with the Lord, deeper into union with the Lord. And I think of Paul's words, I make up in my own body what's lacking in the suffering of Christ. Of course, nothing is lacking in the suffering of Christ. It's totally sufficient for the salvation of all the billions of human beings who ever lived, but all the billions of human beings who ever lived or ever will live need to open their hearts to receive that mercy, to receive that sacrifice. And the Lord is giving us a chance to participate with Him in the salvation of souls by joining our suffering, whether it's physical suffering or mental suffering or emotional suffering, the pain of life in this world, the pain of approaching death, the pain of illness, but now also the pain of being tested, that the hour of testing, the living in a time of ecclesial uncertainty, and bearing the pain with Jesus of that. So some of you will find this book a benefit. It's a difficult book in some ways, so I don't recommend it across the board for, quote, the average person. But I'm grateful to Father Haggerty for giving us a spiritual understanding about what's happening. I'm grateful to Bishop Barron in my last video for giving an honest assessment of the challenge facing us right now. And I'm so happy to not be alone right now, but to have friends and writers and leaders and you, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are friends of Renewal Ministries. And if you'd like to subscribe to our channel so you be notified, and click on the little blue box that says notify me, we'll notify you when new videos are available. And we also have a free newsletter. There's a lot more going on in our lives and in our mission than what you see on these videos. And we have a free monthly newsletter that talks about all the things we're doing all over the world and all the wonderful things we're seeing the Lord do all over the world. So it's not just bad news. It's really a lot of good news. So you got to find it out in our monthly newsletter. So go to renewalministries.net. You'll find it there. And until next time, this is Ralph Martin wishing you the very best. A life of joy as we participate in the passion of Jesus for the salvation of souls in the Catholic Church. Amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.